hello everyone. Welcome to Cyber Therapy. Today we've got a great guest with us, and I'm so excited to bring her on. But first, if this is your first time here joining Cyber Therapy, this is the podcast where we get to meet people within cybersecurity, get to know them, get to know their background, get to know how they have learned how to build teams and work with other people. And I am your host, Ashley Lee. I'm Senior Marketing Manager over at Jupiter One, and just really love being able to meet and talk with people on this show. Normally, I have a co-host. His name's Tony Ramirez. You may have seen him on previous episodes. Definitely go and check those out because there have been definitely some interesting personal conversations around strengths and personalities and whatnot, but he's unable to join me this time. Not to worry, he is perfectly fine. We are actually at our sales kickoff right now, which is part of the reason why I am flying solo today. So with that, we stream the first and third Wednesdays of every month at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. And it was a little interesting getting this one set up because of daylight savings, and I had no idea whether or not the LinkedIn and YouTube situations, live streams would adapt. So anyways, if you're here, you're tuning in, thanks for coming. I'm glad that you're here, and I think we're just going to dive into our interview today. Just to let you know, just to catch you up, basically, we've talked to Michael Roberts from Abbott's Diabetes Care, and he was product security there as well. We got to talk to him about scaling up a team. And this time I get to talk to Radhika Rastogi, who is the senior manager of product security over at Capital One. And so today we get to dig into her background, get to know how she went from coding as a software engineer and moved over to product security, and get to know what she's been learning so far. So with that, we'll go ahead and bring her on. Everybody give a warm welcome to Radhika Rastogi.
Woo! Hello, thank you, Ashley. Happy to be here. So hi, team. I work as a senior manager product security at Capital One. Yeah.
Awesome. Where are you tuning in from today?
So I'm tuning in from, I'm in my home, and previously I was in cafe, but right now I'm at my home. So yeah.
Oh yeah, you were at the cafe and then now you're in your home because you suddenly. So, oops, looks like my connection might have been going in and out there. And I think we're back. So, yes. Radhika, I might have missed it. But you did mention, I think, that you were at a cafe earlier today, got everything charged up, and now you're back home in what should be sunny California. But it is definitely not sunny California, right?
Yeah. I mean, from the last couple of weeks, we're experiencing like snowstorms and like, you know, heavy rainfall, power cuts. So yeah, I mean, last night there was a power outage and internet outage, but I mean, I'm happy. Like we went to the cafe and met a couple of people, get to work together. Yeah, it was fun. But on the hindsight, yes, there is a lot going on in California today, and because of like power outages and internet outage. But we are getting our work done.
It is insane. Because I used to live in Santa Cruz. And so whenever these big storms come around, it's always a little touch and go on whether I can drive home or not. Because there's only like two ways basically to get into Santa Cruz. There's like the coastal way, and then there's like the inside or other way, coastal side, and then through more in inside California. And if both of those get shut down, I am pretty much out of luck to get home. So kudos to you for being warm and in your home. You didn't get caught out in the weather. So glad that you're here. And just for all you, I don't know if I said this earlier, but I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. We have our sales kickoff this week. So we're getting jazzed and really excited for the new year. And it is blue skies, nice and sunny here. Definitely a little chilly, but beautiful weather. So glad that you're here, Radhika. First things first, I wanted to ask, because this is a question that's been percolating in my head for a bit. What is product security? Like, how would you describe it? Because I'm pretty well versed. Well, I wouldn't say well versed, but I'm pretty aware of like what application security is. but I've been seeing like the title around product security pop up more and more over the last couple of years. So would love to hear how you define it.
Yeah, so, you know, security landscape is changing every day. And there are things which we used to do as previously four or five years back are, you know, needs to be evolved as well. So previously security was always an afterthought. Like you do the couple of assessments after the development is done. The concept of product security is still evolving. Every company has its own definition, but basically, it's someone to oversee all the areas of the product lifecycle from inception to the post-release from the security perspective. And it becomes important and vital for the organizations to do it because you now as a product security person is trying to build that muscle on every phase of development lifecycle and helping your engineering teams to achieve security early on. So, having said that, like we have to build the shift left culture where we are starting security from day one, starting from the design. So product security basically brings that concept on the table that guys start doing it early. So you will be secure and ship secured product to the customer rather than any product to the customer, ship secured product to the customer. So that's where the whole industry is moving. So that's why you hear a lot of buzz around this, the word product security. And also it provides a lot of technical expertise on the security. It's a superset of the security where you have like application security, infrastructure security, cloud security, vulnerability management, incident response. So everything comes along the way. And it's kind of like wide range of things which you have to work on being in the product security.
Wow, that's really cool to see because I think many of us, both in the vendor space, but also in the line of security work, right? The landscape of just technology that is getting spun up with startups and whatnot, we won't get into Silicon Valley Bank or anything that, like that, but there's just a lot of different technologies right now and trying to solve various problems. And I like that to hear that, you know, these arms that are focusing on application security, infrastructure security, right? They're all laddering up to like an overarching goal of strong product security. One of the things that we talked about in our prep call was how sometimes people may mistaken you for product management. So I'm curious to know, like, what parts of the role of product security may overlap with product management? Like, is there a whole lot of like managing features and engineering time, or what does that look like? Where is the overlap there?
Yeah, so from my purview, like product management is one of the important organizational function which guides for every step of the product lifecycle, which you ship to the customer. And the epicenter is like, you know, the customer, what customer want, you wanted to build that thing. And product security is like, how do you ship a secure product to the customer? So for example, like, you know, if you wanted to build an API for your customers, a lot of customer feedback comes into the picture that what that API will be and why we have to build that API. All these questions have been addressed by the product manager. But, you know, what is like, you know, the data looks like, what will be the data classification? Is it a protected data or is it's even like, you know, non-public data, or what will be the authentication looks like? What will be the authorization looks like for that product? So all that thing comes under the product security parameter. So definitely there is alignment to it. So product security folks are the part of the entire scrum planning or, you know, planning of the feature, planning of the entire product. So early on, when if product writes like you need an API to deliver it to the customer, product security helps and complements that thing that, hey, you need these authentication and these controls to make it secure. So that's how I look at it. Yeah.
Awesome. No, that's super helpful because I think maybe like a more traditional way of building software is definitely like you were saying before, where you build the feature, you ship it, and you pen test it basically right before you ship it in order to make sure that it's secure. But what I'm hearing from you is essentially product security, product management, working hand in hand. Yes. So when something gets delivered, it is delivered securely. So super cool. Thank you for that explanation. Sometimes I know in organizations, there's like product management can be aligned to like one specific product. So it's like some of my friends are like, they're just working on one solo product. Is that the way product security typically works too? Or are you typically supporting multiple products in a big organization, I should say?
Yeah, so in the big organizations, definitely there can be one-to-one mapping to the product, or there can be one-to-many as well. Mm-hmm. Generally, because product security is still evolving in the organizations, like, you know, what the roadmap of product security looks like. So definitely, like, you know, you need a lot of resources to be aligned with the product security as well. So it's, I mean, the organizations which I have worked with, there it is one to many. As a mm-hmm. you know, as a product security manager, you have to manage multiple portfolios to make sure
that yes, that makes sense.
It's been like shipped securely to the customer. But mm-hmm. having said that, like every organization is coming with their own level and own roadmap what the product security should look like. So there is no industry definition of the product security. We can just pivot it as per or customize it as per our needs or goals of the organization.
Yeah, because I'm sure like if you're a SaaS product, right, that's a certain level of product security. But then if you have like a mobile app, or if you have like IoT, right, like, you know, I would be really curious to understand how product security works at like Amazon, right? For Alexa or something like that. So yeah, like it's very interesting that it's pretty bespoke to the company and what they're delivering, because I mean, that's how you align yourself to revenue also, right? Which makes security much more business oriented conversation.
Right.
So cool. What does a typical day at work look like for somebody in product security? For anybody who is curious about joining as a, you know, in product security, what does a typical day look like, if there is a typical day?
Yeah, I mean, as such, like, there is no pattern or typical day, I will say. Like, but what I can say that you have to be very fluid and adaptable and change your context between the products and what your customer want and what the security looks like. So, I mean, because, you know, but I can definitely say there is never a dull moment. Like one time you're doing cloud security, the other time you're doing application security. So the team is pretty much engaged in doing a lot of different areas of security in the single day. Sometimes you're, you know, API security. So it's kind of like a fun job for sure. Like, you know, you will never get bored of doing one time, but it keeps on changing all the time. Like, you know, it can be like, you know, but there is a lot of learning within mm-hmm. like, you know, the path. And I mean, you have to change your context, and now you are just standing with the different people. But, you know, it can be like a serverless technology, or it can be like, you know, a different technology, like it can be like a AI. So you have to be ahead of the curve. And it's not that you need to know everything, but you just do your research and you just try to, you know, be more when you go to the meetings, you have to educate your teams about that particular technology, what they're using, is it safe or not safe? So it's like, you know, it's very different. So there is no pattern as such. I'm not able to recognize any.
That's okay. No, I think that's really, really interesting. So basically what you're telling me is if whoever is listening to this, if you are the kind of person who just wants your lane and you just want to focus on something, product security probably is not for you because you have to switch tasks a lot. However, if you are the kind of person who wants to learn about all the different arms of security and how that contributes to delivering a secure product, then by all means, this is probably a very interesting line of work to go into because you can get your hands on a lot of different projects. Does that appropriate summarize?
Absolutely. But it's in the end of the day, it keeps you going as well. Because you try to learn a lot on job itself, like, you know, about different technologies, about different types of securities, and what you can do to make organization more successful and more secured from this function side of the house. So yeah.
Nice. How does learning and knowledge sharing can take a lot of different forms? So I'm curious from your experience, and sorry, this was not in your show notes prior to this, so I'm springing this on to you, and it's totally okay if you don't answer, but knowledge sharing and learning and just the transferring of knowledge between specialists and like application security or infrastructure security and like different arms, right, of different products, how have you seen that work really well? Because I think, you know, for any growing company, right, we're always wanting to figure out how we can scale up knowledge sharing and whatnot. So I'm curious to see from your experience working at bigger companies, how have they done it well? And if there's any particular recommendations you have.
So definitely, like, you know, because product security dealt with a lot of different kinds of security. So it's not necessarily the person who's doing, you know, product security has to do the application security. So there is a lot of learnings, even from the horizontal parts as well. If somebody is expert in the API security, so we try to bring them on board and try to have lunch and learn sessions and share their knowledge, like what are the key important things, what are needed for a person to shine or train our team to be expert. So it's all identifying the areas where they need much more expertise to become an overall expert in the security area. So definitely, like, you know, you recognize the area like API security, we wanted to learn it more further, or even like serverless security. So you try to, you know, arrange trainings or, you know, help each other to gain that common common frame of work which you wanted to do. So that is the way what I have seen, and it's been successful so far, having lunch and learn sessions or creating the awareness within, like, hey, this is the path you can take. So those kind of things have really helped to reach our goals to be in the product security. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I think what's been interesting is, like, even just within like cloud security, right, there's so many different ways to specialize, different things to learn, right? So for those of you who are like, how will I ever learn everything? You will never learn everything, and that's okay. Yeah. But if you're like extremely knowledgeable in an area and own your expertise, that's what you can bring and share with other teammates. And so you help basically round out the team's knowledge with your knowledge.
Yes.
So
yes.
Super cool. Okay, pivoting just a little bit, because one of the things that I was also thought was curious was that you started out as a software engineer, right?
Yeah.
So first, what got you to be a software engineer? Because female software engineers are becoming more common nowadays, but it hasn't always been that way, right? So I'm really curious, how did you get into it? Because when I was in college, I was like, I don't want to be an engineer because I don't want to be the only girl in my class, which is very sad now saying that out loud, but that's literally where my thinking was. And so I would love to just hear kind of, how did you get into software engineering?
Yeah, you know, it goes back to my early career days where we all wanted to get a job faster. And like, you know, I was being the elder member in my family, like my brother and my sister. So there was always like a kind of, you know, a responsibility on me. How do I get a job faster? Mm-hmm. And one of my cousin, he was a software engineer. And while talking to him, I was trying to figure it out. And he said there are a lot of jobs in companies there where you about software, why didn't you learn about it? And then, you know, it was out of curiosity I started learning Java and C++, and then I did my engineering as well. And that really played an important role, having a goal in life and moving towards it. So that's how I ended up as a software engineer. And definitely there was a lot of learnings, because what you learn in college is a little bit different than what you practically do it in the company. So, but I was not scared to ask for it. I was but I was having so much confidence in me that whatever it is, I have to do it. Being a eldest member in the family, I have to be a role model for my sister and my brother. So definitely, I did a lot of coding in my early on to learn. And to that fact, I teach coding to my daughters as well.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So I think it's all about having a right teacher and what they wanted to learn in their own way. So I try to, my daughter is 9 year old and she's early on, but still I try. And now she's started
instilling curiosity, which is how it starts, right? Like as long as you poke at that curiosity, then she can kind of learn wherever she wants to go.
So that's what I realize. It's not about I want her to be coder from day one. It's just telling her that there is one more option as a career. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she gonna be or anybody else gonna be, because I, in my free time, I used to teach math to some of the middle school girls.
I love that. I actually wanted to do that as a career too and be a middle school math teacher.
Yeah. In my free time, I do that, but having said that, I try to create awareness about cybersecurity in early on as well. And I don't know if they will take their career down the line when they grew up. But having said that, just creating that awareness that there is a career in here, I feel that is important to do, to have more.
Expose them young. Yes.
Yes.
My exposure to coding wasn't until high school when I had to build a web page. And so I wouldn't even say my exposure to coding is in the engineering real languages is how my friends tease me, right? Oh, you learn how to do HTML, CSS. That's nothing. But that's actually I did learn that and I thought it was fun. And so I took a programming 101 class in college just for kicks and giggles, because at that point I was way too far in my degree already to switch. But learning C, learning logic and if statements and loops and all that stuff, it's all very helpful and logical to then also then understand how engineers think and talk and plan out and work, right? So So how did you get from engineering into product security?
Yeah, that is also itself a story. When I got a job in one of the companies as a software developer, and there are a few bugs which we need to address for addressing the security. And my manager assigned those defects to me to fix it as a part of the life cycle. And then from there, there's no looking back. I did a lot of research, fixed those defects. And then it developed a sense of curiosity in me that what is it? How can I learn? And from there, I did a couple of certifications. I started going to a lot of meetups and, but definitely I love to read, as I mentioned before as well. So I definitely read a lot of books and did capture flags, which definitely helped me to enhancing my knowledge to that extent. And understanding that, everybody has a path in cybersecurity. It's not necessarily, you can be a pen tester, you can be an application security guy, or you can be a vulnerability manager, risk manager. So there is you can be a security awareness manager. So there can be a lot of paths to security, and learning those things it's not necessary that if one thing doesn't work, you doesn't belong there. There is something else. You should just keep trying and figure out what you really wanted to do. So that's how I got into it. And then I got into a red team engineering, which is kind of a pen test work. You're trying to attack that. I have been to so many different verticals of security, from pen test to the application security, then platform security, and then now the product security. So every security space has taught me something different, which I really love about this work, to be honest. Yeah.
Awesome. I have more questions there, but first I wanted to ask, you're probably working with a lot of engineering teams today, right? Like, and just in general, as a product security manager, you're typically working with engineering teams to fix defects like you were doing on the other side of the fence early in your career.
Yeah.
If you had to describe your favorite engineer to work with, what do they do that makes your job as a product security person, product security leader, easier?
So whenever my team or I talk to engineering teams, I always encourage them to ask questions. And not necessarily those questions will be right or directly associated with security. Ask questions, what is bothering you? What is keeping you awake at night? Put that in front of security folks, and we might not have answers to everything, but we will find it out. We will try to put some countermeasures around it. But asking questions is one of the best thing what has helped me to get great results in this area, and be vocal about your concerns to the people, to the security, and building that relationship of trust. So that's what has really helped me to be very successful, and standing in front of them and telling them that you're there to help them to achieve the common goals of making product more secure. So putting them into that comfort zone and giving them opportunity to ask anything what they want. It can be either in the vulnerability management space, or it can be in any of the space, even not related to work. If there is anything related to the security which is bothering them, just talk through it, because that is like helpful in figuring out. So yeah, yep. That's what I would put it. Yep.
Allowing anybody to raise their hand. That is really, really interesting, because I think in some cultures, right, you probably hear the stories of people who know they're working on something that's broken, but they're too scared to raise their hand because they don't want to be the one to then either have to go fix it or like own the problem, right? Or like get in trouble for exposing something. So I love that just in general, cybersecurity is moving in this direction of, we're here to build trust. Like, nobody's going to get in trouble. Just raise, like, if you see a problem, if you see something, say something, right? Like, that's what they, exactly. I think, you hear, like, anywhere you go. Like, I heard it in, when I was on my plane over to Raleigh, the Southwest flight attendant was like, if you see something, say something, right? Like, you know, that applies for, like, human trafficking, that applies for, like, issues that you see on the street, right? But it also applies, like, in business. So I really like just how we're building a better, more friendly
culture
and with a joined goal.
Absolutely. So. And I mean, basically, you know, building that security mindset and having that behavior change where you start thinking security as a first thing is very important from the security perspective. And creating those awareness trainings and standing in front of your engineering teams to help them to achieve their goals is something which is very important in the security function, because you are, as a security person, is responsible for creating that culture where people can directly come to you and ask anything without any hesitation. So, being security is also becoming the epicenter of every organization. So it's important skill to have to, move forward. Yeah.
Yep. To have those conversations, maybe even some conflict, but be able to resolve conflict in a healthy way.
Sure. So,
So you mentioned like lunch and learns. You also mentioned like just having the conversation, encouraging people to ask the question. Are there any like team activities that you've ran or seen run that really helps build that trust?
So, I mean, if you look at like being in front of the teams or having like common happy hour, you know. So just having some like organized sessions or having unorganized sessions as well, where, you know, you just talk anything. So those things help, and having open office hours, right? Mm-hmm. As a security person, you just keep yourself open to any question. You just have a dedicated time for your engineering team. Like anybody can come and ask questions. So those things have really helped in building relationships with the engineering teams. And within teams, like within our teams, definitely we do a lot of knowledge sharing sessions where, you know, somebody tries to bring up a new technology or did new certification. We try to you know, share it with other folks in the team as well. So those things really help, you know, to build and asking questions. And so those kind of activities I have seen are really fruitful in building relationships within the team or even outside the team. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So a lot of what I've been hearing is also you being a good facilitator for these conversations. So yes. I'm curious, what soft skills, if you had to say like one soft skill that really has contributed to your success so far as a product security leader, what would it be?
So, you know, there are two I would love to share. The first is your communication. And it's important to understand that security cannot be, you know, you cannot have security in isolation. It's right. More has to be integrated. And for that, every product security leader has to be transparent and has to be very good in their communication and transparent to tell leadership what the risk is and how they can mitigate it. So that is one thing which has really helped me, is to communicate more often with your engineering teams, with your leadership. And also the other thing which really helps me to keep going is adaptability, because, you know, things are changing with the constant speed here. Like, mm-hmm. You don't know, there are unknowns, definitely. And how do you adjust to those new ecosystems more faster and without making much noises? So there is also a very important skill set which really helped me to move further, is how do you adapt to the conditions very fast and, you know, be with your teams always to, you know, protect them with the guidance. So these two things I will say is important.
Yeah, definitely. Those are, I think, two skills that are just really helpful in general, like especially if you're at a startup, because I would say for me, like those at this stage of growth, like communication can always be improved. Yeah. And it's interesting because I think earlier, maybe, yeah, I think in February, I had asked like the question, do you learn the tech first and then learn how to communicate? Or is it better to like learn how to communicate well and then pick up the tech as you go? And it's always so interesting because obviously it's a question that's out of context because it is very context driven, right? If you're talking to engineers, you probably need to have some sort of technical expertise or at least have the capacity to learn it on the fly, right? Yeah. But if you're talking to like a broader audience who maybe doesn't need all the technical know-how, they just need to know why something is important. Like, you don't have to get into the technical specifics. You have to orient the value, the benefit towards whoever you're talking to in a very human way. So yeah. I just think it's really interesting to hear you talk through like communication and adaptability. Because I think they really go hand in hand in being able to build those relationships with other people. This is more of a curiosity question also. I have a lot of those today. Have you ever been in an instance where you're trying to explain something, the value of something to someone, and you just get really frustrated, but then you come back fresh and like with a different perspective sometime later and you're able to like explain it in a better light? Like one, have you ever experienced that? And two, what was the thing that helped you shift your perspective so that you could have a more productive conversation?
So, you know, I mean, in due course of your career, you definitely have those kind of moments, but how do you come back is something very important. So, what I have learned to not get into those stressful situations is to do your audience profiling before you go and talk to them. And it really helps to understand your audience, which what stage they are, what is their understanding about the security. So if you start telling people to do something without understanding them, it sometimes it's backfires. So it's good to understand them, what they actually need and what do you want them to do. So it has to be very well prepared before you even go to the call. So those things have really helped me out to understand my audience and be with them, what they want, and answer their questions in the way they wanted to hear is also something very important, which I have learned in my with my experience. So those things really helped me to be strong enough to come back and help them to achieve what they wanted and of course, like try to get things more faster. But those things are something which I have seen have worked for me, but not necessarily it can work. It's not something like one fit works for all. You have to figure it out a way by yourself to see like with whom you're talking to and what they want and what is the agenda of the meetings which you wanted to run. So yeah, so those kind of factors will definitely help people.
It almost sounds like you have meetings before the actual meeting where you're trying to make a decision to get, so like being able to get to know the person, right, and the people that you're working with and getting to alignment in those conversations before you have like your big old presentation for a big decision. And so I think that's just so interesting. Like the more people I talk to, the more I'm realizing like the value of the conversation, the meetings before the meeting. And it's funny because I think a lot of people are just like, well, you just outline all the reasons and you make a decision and it's easy peasy, lemon squeezy, and you're on your way. But the reality is people are human and have opinions and have feelings and have reactions. So being able to kind of suss all of that out ahead of time actually makes things flow a lot better downstream.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to do your homework if you are just going in a big decision meeting where you wanted to make decisions. So, I mean, it's and you learn with your experience. It's not like you are from day one, you are ready to go and say
I wish
people.
there was just like a book or like, an audiobook or just like 3 steps. This is how you figure out what kind of person they are and like how to best talk to them. But it's so bespoke to the people that you're working with. So.
So, I mean, of course, like you have to figure it out, and most of us figure it out within like within your career journey, you can make it work, like with your teams and with your leadership. Like, how do you want it to make move forward? So that is kind of like and I'm still learning, I will be honest with you.
I feel like it's a career-long learning like journey, right? Because I would even say like from going from like entry level to mid-level, there's a certain level of learning to how to communicate that way, right? Because you're going to have to up level your technical speak to something that more people can understand. But then like going from like mid layer to executive, that is like I'm really interested in how that works because and how I can just get better because that's how you influence business decisions, like strategic conversations, you're equipping your boss with all the, the information that they need in order to help rally their peers. So it's super interesting to me to just learn, observe, ask questions, right, around how decisions get made. And it changes from organization to organization. It changes with as people cycle in and out of leadership, right? So super cool. All right, pivoting to our last kind of section of thoughts here on mentorship. So you had mentioned early on in your career, you had a manager who was like, hey, like you want to start digging into these defects, these bugs, and start understanding like why these are considered security flaws. Would love to just hear more about how mentorship has played in your career since then. And then also have the roles been reversed where you are the person telling somebody else to be able to mentor them?
No, I think I should say that I've been lucky to have good coaches and mentors all my life. And definitely what I get from my mentors is that they really challenge you to always, you know, they are always available for the piece of advice, and they definitely challenge you within yours. So, I mean, and specifically, like, mentors are not people who are, like, you know, executives or somebody. They are mentors, which I have it, like, in the horizontal chain. They are mentors who are, like, within my team as well. But it all depends what type of advice you're looking for. Mm-hmm. But definitely having a mentor and getting an advice is really, like, you know, it's all about perspectives. Like, you have a way to solve a problem, but when you talk to your mentor, he tries to give you a different perspective, which you also added to what you are trying to work on. So it really helps to change your thinking the way you wanted to, attack, or you wanted to solve a problem. So definitely mentors play an important role in shaping you. And it's not necessarily that, you know, you can have mentors, like, you can have mentors all the way who can, you know, help you out with that. And that's what I see it. And most of the time, I've seen, like, even like early in career women who wanted to have mentors who are just like executives and stuff. And my advice to them is, like, mentors can be anybody. Reaching out to 12 people, not everybody will respond. There are only 2 people who will respond. And then out of 2 people, it not necessarily clicks, and, you know, that they are mm-hmm. willing to put that much time and advice with you. So I feel like it's a constant thing, but having mentors really help you to, to get different perspectives on, like, on your career, and you can bank on them for the piece of advice. So it's good to have. Yeah.
Yeah. I love what you said about how mentors don't always have to be the executives. They can be your peers. Yeah. That is something that I have learned over the last few years, is like real, like, strong friendship with your peers can actually benefit your growth as a person in your career just as much as, like, the executive who doesn't, may not know you as personally, but can give you advice on, like, how they got to their level. And so, yeah, I think that there is definitely benefit to seeking out your peers who have different skill sets, who seem to be getting results in different ways that maybe you didn't know that was possible, right? So that's just super cool. Thank you for sharing that, because I think I needed to, like, rehear that, because I think I have a lot of friends both ways, right? And it's just, I did not connect the dots until you said that, yeah, mentors can happen with your peers as well. So awesome. One last question, because you mentioned that you really like books. So Tony and I were talking about books that we were recommending, nonfiction books, so like business books and stuff like that. And I know that you are a fan of nonfiction, and I know it's a very broad genre, but what are you reading? What would you recommend to anybody who's listening? Would just like to know.
Yeah. So last quarter I read an interesting book called My Life is Full, and it's the book by Indra Nooyi. And personally, you know, being a working mom and your spouse is busy with his work and managing all the household chores. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing like 3 full-time jobs. And
yeah, not all of them you're getting paid for, yes.
Yeah, and then that book really gave me a very good perspective, like, you know, don't lose what you love, like, you know, follow through it and find solutions around it, like, because you don't want it to regret. And I love my work and I love what I do. I love Capital One. And, you know, but there are times where you are just super, like, you know, stressed out and stuff, but it's okay to be like that. But having said that, finding a way what you really wanted to do, and be honest, like, if child is sick at home, you don't have to be like, you know,
hiding it.
You just go and tell your teams that, hey, my child is sick and I will be away. Nobody's perceiving you as if you're not working. Or so that book really opens up that perspective that, you know, follow your dreams. Like, everybody juggles with that. Find out solutions that you know, really get you there. So that is one book which, I literally love that book, and it really changed my way. Another book which I just started and I'm reading is like Allyship in Action, where we wanted to have different perspectives and diversity inclusion. It's not an on and off button. We need that at work. We need that at home. We need it everywhere. And so that's what I. How do we build that team? How do we, you know, how do we have that mindset in our team to start looking into to become better allies? So that's the another one which I will recommend. It's a good one to read.
Awesome.
So yeah, those are the two books I'm just doing it right now. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. I think we're going to close out our time soon. But first, we're going to do some rapid fire questions. So not quite a game like we've normally done in the past, but since it's just you and me, it'll be real simple. It's basically this or that. And just getting to know some quick fire answers from you. So first things first, beach or forest?
I will say beach. I love sun. I think, like, you know, in California, it's been raining for almost 4 weeks, and I got those lamps which can give you as if like sun is shining, and definitely, yes. I love beaches.
Very nice. Yes. No, I have one of those lights at home also, so that definitely helps with anybody with seasonal affect disorder, like they just feel, you know, a little down whenever it's cloudy. Yeah. Those lights definitely help. It's not a placebo effect, I promise. Yeah. Tea or soda?
Well, I'm a tea person. I love drinking a lot of hot beverages rather than, like, you know, soda. One, like, apart from its health benefit, it's just like I need my caffeine to kickstart my day more often. So definitely I prefer tea. And of course, like, I definitely want to drink something which my kids see me drinking, and even if they ask for it, I can give them, so without any guilt. So definitely I do like caffeine and non-caffeinated teas quite often to be like, you know, it's not that like I love it, but also for my daughters, if they see me drinking, if they ask it, I can share.
And if they want to drink some, they can too, right? If it's not caffeinated. Awesome. Dancing or singing?
Ooh, this is a tough one. So definitely I like singing. But having said that, I enjoy dancing as well, especially on those Bollywood beats, which are like, you know, good beats with the song. But having said that, like, I've been dancing as my workout rather than singing. So definitely, twice a week, I love to, do dancing for my workout. So definitely, I love that now. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think for me, that's a really hard choice just because I like singing. I like karaoke. In the private rooms, right? Like the Korean karaoke rooms that they have. So private rooms, not like out there at a bar in front of like 10 million people who are also drunk. That's just not my style. So, but yes. Yeah. Okay. And last one, movies or music?
Ooh, yeah. So, yes, I do watch movies, but not that much because of the time. Like, I'm not having enough time these days. But having said that, like, right now I don't watch movies or listen to the music. It's more like, books and definitely my daughter sings. Like, she's a vocalist. She's learning. So
I love it.
Yeah, I go to her recitals very often to listen to the music. But yeah, if I have given a choice, then I will go with the movies, like, just those the 1.5 hours and, helps.
As a break, you can just shut your brain off, just be in the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unplug yourself with everything and, just be there. And yeah, so I will say that.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. This is Radhika Rastogi. She's a senior manager at product security at Capital One. And you've gotten to hear a lot of good stuff from her, everything from soft skills that help her do her job well, and how she got from engineering into product security. So with that, thank you so much, Radhika, for being on our show here. We're going to move you backstage just so I can wrap up the show, but don't go anywhere so I can say bye to you before you leave. All right. Awesome. Thank you everyone for joining again today. Today has been a great conversation with Radhika. And if you're interested in product security, this should give you a little insight into what life is like in product security, especially managing a team. So with that, our next episode is going to be on April 5th. That one's going to be with Scott Wright, and he is the CEO of ClickArmor. And April seems to be shaping up to be a month about how to help people learn about different facets within security. So a little bit about what Radhika was talking about in terms of learning the different arms. So if you want to join in, tune in on April 5th, we will have Scott Wright from ClickArmor. And then on April 19th, we will have Maretta Morovitz from MITRE. So she'll be joining us and talking about some cool stuff that she's cooking up over there. So with that, thank you again, everybody. If you want to continue hearing from us, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit that notification button, follow us on LinkedIn, or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So with that, we will see you next time.